And we're live. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Build It Better. Excited to have everyone today. The band is back together.
Hoot, hoot.
What are we calling our band?
We need like a cool like JavaScript name.
Tracy and I like Tracy and the middle-aged white dudes. That's a pretty good,
that's a pretty good band name.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Okay, I gotta make a sticker now.
Wah, wah, wah.
Anyways, my name's Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Elite. I'm one of your co-hosts today, joined by, I'll say, Ben Lush. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Lush. And then joined by our other co-host, Adam.
Me, that's me. Hi.
Big A B.
Sometimes known as AKA.
Are you the drummer or the guitarist or what in this band?
You got a real roadie vibe to you, Adam.
Whoa. I'm the front man. I have a face of a front man.
So you're like the singer.
I want to be the mysterious. I want to be the mysterious, like, you know, guitar player with the cool thing.
Are guitar players mysterious?
Oh, yeah. They can be, right? Yeah, no.
I feel like the bass players are the mysterious ones.
You know, like in Almost Famous, there's like the guy, that, you know, there's the front man who's like played by that one actor, but then there's the guitar player who's actually kind of the main character. He's played by the same guy who's like the blue guy in Watchmen. And he's like the mysterious, cool one that's actually more attractive. That's the guy I want to be.
Slash. Okay. I think you're talking about Slash.
No, yeah, or Slash. That actually works.
Has anyone ever seen his face?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're also joined by Jesse.
Hey, that's me.
Yes. And Jesse, what would you be in this band? What instrument?
Wait, has anyone seen Jesse's face?
Far too much.
That's a filter. Everyone should know that.
That's a filter. My kids have never seen my face without a beard on it.
Oh, you should do that.
They'd be scared.
Do that for a Father's Day.
That would be weird. I'd be like baby face. Yeah. I wouldn't be the manager. I'd be terrible. I'd be like third basis.
Third basis. There's only four people here, so
exactly. That sounds like an appropriate role.
Yeah. Okay, so object-oriented programming, since, you know, the old is new and the old is hot.
Everything old is new.
Oh, I like how you tied that back to grunge. What's old is new again. That's good.
Yeah. So we care about object-oriented programming. And it's like the hottest thing in the entire world right now, right?
It's hot. Yes. JavaScript.
I feel like it got a really bad rap from like Java and C Sharp, but like, object-oriented programs pretty easy to like hold in your head. Like,
all right, what now? We got to do the thing. What are we?
The thing where you ask me what object-oriented programming is.
Exactly, that's the thing.
It's using classes for everything. Just sugar. Like, let's not sugarcoat it.
That's what people think, right? It's like, oh, it's
that's
classes,
what people think.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
Right. You were classes. You inherit from classes, so you write a class that says like extends this other class.
Yeah. You're like, I have code that needs to do something. So step one, create a class. Step two, create a method on that class. Like that's
right.
Yep. Initialize that class. Right. And use methods on said class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that doesn't sound so bad. What's the problem? That sounds good.
Well, I mean, all right.
I think React's saying boo, functional programming for the win, everything, right?
I would bet, and I haven't looked at their entire code base, that they've got some class definitions in there.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. Now,
functional programming is great at university, but when it comes to actually shipping features, it's not really helpful.
Well, ooh.
That's a ridiculous
those comment. Fighting words.
Yeah. Ben? All right. So here, let's talk about this just a little bit. Because what a class really is it's a way for you to be like, all right, so you say new class, and then it's you get some properties, and you can set properties on there. A class is really just a way to organize a bunch of functions and contain some state that you're going to call those functions with. And you also call those functions with some arguments too. So you have like a method, takes a few arguments from the outside world and also operates on some state that exists inside the class. But at the end of the day, what you're really doing is you're using the class properties or whatever you constructed the class with as a way to kind of inject arguments into a function call. Like there's really no way around it. That's exactly what you're doing. Like if you take it all the way down to, you know, like bare metal of what it's actually doing, you're calling functions with arguments and like references to bits of memory or whatever. So the difference between functional programming and object-oriented programming is almost more organizational than anything else. Now, that said, in modern times, there's a few things that make object-oriented programming a little bit less ideal for shipping features, which is, one, public methods on a class or anything on a class really is not tree shakeable. So when you go to bundle, your bundler can't figure out its dead code and remove it. If you're using TypeScript, you could statically analyze private methods on a class and know that you're not using them, right? So you get some reporting probably in your IDE, but the bundler is probably not going to pick that up. So that brings us to the other thing of like, if you have a module that's only exporting functions, and in that module, you also have some functions that are not exported that are being used in different spots in that module, and you cease to use them, you're going to get lint errors or whatever, because it can static analysis can say, look, you're not using this thing. And that's not the case with methods on a class or properties on a class, unless they're marked as private and you're using TypeScript. So there's a few gotchas with classes that I don't really like. The other thing that I don't like about classes in general is like, there's a bunch of different ways to pass values to a function. Like I said, that's all they're doing. Like, these methods are just like, here, we've got a single method reference. We're going to put it on the prototype. Our single function reference, we're going to put on the prototype. That's our method. So we share that amongst all instances of classes. That's good. But then you can pass methods into the function by passing them as actual arguments, which is easy to read and understand. There's by just state on the this object, which isn't super easy to read and understand, because that can be updated by other method calls. It can be updated by setting properties. It can be updated by your actual constructor. So like, there's a lot of different ways that a method on a class could get access to some variable that's changing its behavior. Where if you have a function, there's really only two ways, which is you pass as an argument or you have some closure, and those are it. So the simplicity of just the functional side is there. Now, when you get into functional programming and higher order functions and, you know, piping these things, like, I can tell you as the author of ArcGIS firsthand, people will murder their code base with some of those paradigms. Like, they will get in there and they'll be like, yeah, then I just did this reverse pipe whatever, and then I piped this thing, and then like, and it's like they get a little too excited about it, and it's like, all right, so if you have a chain of pipe, you do understand you could just have one function that did all those things, right? Like, you didn't need to compose all this. Like, there's people overkill, I think, in the
wait. So yeah. Ben, I thought you were for object, like, you were like, yeah, it's not that bad. But now I'm like, maybe we should just like, after that monologue, I was like, sounds like we should only do functional programming.
No. What I would advocate is doing what makes the most sense. But since Jesse, who's over on this side, I'm going to point that way, since he was taking the position on the other side, I was kind of like, all right, so here's
devil.
Yeah. So the devil's advocate, but like but you get into inheritance and some of these things and the tangled mess, like everyone knows like inheritance hell, like what can happen with that. And people, like, everyone just generally is like, okay, I do inheritance, but only one level deep. Right.
Yeah. Then what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind
of using it. Yeah.
Well, actually, I do have a real question. if I can sidetrack for a question with you, Ben, is there a reason that, like, for performance, like maybe memory or something, that you maybe would be like, well, actually, you know, you could say if you're using a class, then the compiler might be able to like better, you know, these objects or something. And so therefore you maybe, you know, in RxJS, you want this to be instances of a class because it has a very prescribed interface.
Sure. 100%.
So that's like a real thing. Okay. So, closures grab a lot of things, right?
Like, yeah. So let's just say, so like a class is really good at, like, you create a class with some value you pass to it, and that becomes the class's state. And then all of its methods have access to that class's state. Now, one advantage is it takes all the methods and it takes them and puts them as functions on the prototype. So there's only one function instance, which means like V8 will have more of an opportunity to try to optimize that function instance. Whether or not it can is totally a different point, but it will be able to try to optimize it. And in a functional case, if you wanted to have some state shared between multiple calls of a single function, you're going to have a higher order function that you pass that value to. And then the other or at least you're going to have a closure, right? Where you have to close over that. And every single time you want to change it, you either have to change the state in something you've closed over, or you have to create a new function reference, right? So like the higher order function in particular is almost always going to create a new function reference and return it every single time, unless you do some fancy thing with it, because it doesn't have that advantage of the prototype inheritance. But
and even then, is the closure going to take like a whole stack frame with it in memory anyway too, or is that like a thing that they don't do anymore?
It's no, like it depends on what's in the closure, but generally speaking, it only takes what it needs to, right? And like, as long as your function is called with the same shape, like underlying shape or hidden class is what they call it in some cases, which is funny. Like your V8 will try to optimize it and try to inline cache, like what it can do with the function, try to like actually inline the function's code wherever it's being used. You can't really angle for that too much. So that really you're kind of looking at like how many function references am I creating a memory, and you're going to create less with a class that probably less using classes than you would. React developers in particular have this habit of creating these classes where they use properties that get function references instead of methods, which totally negates that advantage. They're throwing it in the garbage. They're not using the prototype at all. And so they're basically just using a class as like an organizational thing. And they're doing this because you can't take a function reference that's a method off of something and just pass it to something else, because it loses this, right? Like it doesn't have the instance that was attached to.
Remember probably in like 2017 when in React you would do a class and then you would have to manually bind everything in initialize? Oh, where was it?
Well, you're doing the constructor.
The constructor. You'd have this block was always tagged as like bind initialize, and like pull that code up and show it to someone who doesn't go back to React that far, and they'll be like, what is happening? Like, one, it's a class. What the hell are you doing? Two, what are you binding to? I have no idea what's going on. And you're like, that's what we had to do.
That's funny. Yep. Well, but the funny thing is like, okay, so now you write a class and you throw a little arrow thing in there and you're like, oh, look, now it just does the binding for me, but it doesn't actually do the binding for you as much as it creates a brand new function for every instance that has the this at that point bound to it. Right. Which is what Ben's talking about.
So like, you know, Angular has a big advantage over React in that particular category, because they're compiling the template and they can look and be like, oh, I know that this relates to this property or whatever on this backing class. But having been the person who literally worked on this, the downside to having a class-based API for something like Angular is people use inheritance. And then you have inheritance that has to have certain behaviors with decorators that weren't even standardized at the time. And like you have to maintain backwards compatibility with those behaviors might be.
Decorators are standardized now?
Still aren't really technically.
Well, but they're further down the chain, right? Further down the
stages. You know what, Ben? I had a boss once that said, look, if it's not shipped, it's not done. It doesn't matter if it's 30% or 90%. It's not done. If it's not shipped, it's not done.
Yeah. No, I had a boss once that just said, ship it.
90% sounds great. Get it out there.
Yeah, great.
We started off this podcast thinking that we're going to talk about object-oriented programming, but like, does anybody want to argue the point that our object-oriented programming is better?
I like the idea of object-oriented programming in JavaScript using prototypes, as opposed to like Java and C# with its sort of like more rigid class structure.
But if you're using classes, like if you're using the syntax to create a class, what's the difference whether it's using prototypal inheritance or blueprint based inheritance like the other languages?
Can I do extensions on prototype chain?
Yes and no. Like there's no like the way to extend something with prototypes is literally just decorate the prototype with some other function, right? Like you can go to object.prototype and add like Jesse's cool method, and then that exists on every object now. So
or
an advantage and a disadvantage, right? Because you're mutating global state when you do that. So
Or if you get really fancy, you can start like inserting like in the prototype chain in the middle somewhere. You could like put things if you needed to, like have another object along. Because yeah, just how prototypal inheritance works. Like you can do weird things.
Was it new tools built entirely in prototype chaining?
No, I think what you're thinking of there is like they were actually like enhancing the built-in prototypes.
Well, you know, ArcGIS had this, right? Like the mutating the proto. So like ArcGIS version 5 through 5, or actually version 5 all the way up to 6, didn't have pipeable operators. What it had was you'd say Rx add operator map, Rx add operator filter. And what that did was it added those operators to the observable prototype. And then you could do dot chaining, right? And the problem with that was that, let's say I export an observable from my library and I add map because I'm using it, right? Then Adam imports my third party library and starts using it and starts using map and it just works. But then one day, without thinking about it, I say, oh, I don't really need to use map. And I remove that addition in my library. I've now mutated global state in such a way that there's no way for Adam to know that I've done this. And then he goes to use, like he builds his code or whatever and goes to run everything and it just breaks. So there's issues with mutating. It's the shared global state issue, basically, with mutating the prototype of something, because you have this single thing. It's the prototype is global state. Like there's no different instances of prototype for a single bucket. Class.
Everything goes into the bucket.
Yeah. So that's the thing that's kind of crappy about it. And you don't have to worry about that with the functional pipe, right? Like, which is why we moved to that in RxJS.
So who'd have thought, we start talking about object inheritance and all we've really talked about is like JavaScript's prototypes and prototypal inheritance, really. It's kind of funny.
Well, it's object-oriented programming in JavaScript, right? Like that's the big...
Yeah. But that's kind of where we ended up talking about it because of that. But it's like, is there a problem if you didn't know about prototype or how it works? Is there a problem with just using classes, extending classes? Like where does the...
No, I mean, like if you have something like a dog object and you have a bark function, like, and you don't make a dog class that has a bark method on it, you're crazy. What are you doing? Like, you don't need I'm going to need a bark function that I'm only ever passing a dog to. Like, what? Like, why does that exist? Right? Like why in the world would someone be like, all right, I made this bark function. You're not going to call that with anything else but a dog, right? So the only reason to do that is if you're trying to optimize for tree shaking, right? Or if you just really are avoiding classes at all costs. Now, one reason that somebody might avoid classes at all costs, though, is the whole thing of like, if you have a third party library and you give people things, if you give them a class, they're going to be like, ha, you can't seal a class in JavaScript. So I'm going to inherit from this class. And like, you're effectively giving them that as an API. And now they have access to, you know, protected things in TypeScript or whatever, unless you mark them internal. It's crazy.
But that's okay, right? Because you've marked it as protected. You're expecting it to be extended.
Yes and no. I think a lot of people, especially early on, whenever all this stuff was fairly new, like when I first started working on RxJS, like in 2015 or so, like we were not expecting people to be so bold as to be like, I'm going to just extend subject. Like we were like, well, maybe people will extend observable because they want to add their own custom methods, which is how the Lyft thing came around. But like the general consensus has always been, if you don't own the class, do not extend it. Like no matter if, even if it's native to the platform, don't do it. So, you know, like there's issues with object-oriented programming in JavaScript in that you cannot seal a class. You can't say, look, I'm doing inheritance internally, but I don't want anyone external to my library to inherit from this. Like there's no way to stop that.
I wonder if there's a stage proposal for class final, right? That seals that from, cause like I've been working in Swift last, I don't know, a couple of weeks and like you can class final and like extendability. Nope. Not available. It like just finishes that like,
I mean, like, there is stuff you can do. Like you can do some stuff like in your constructor, be like, you know, if this dot constructor isn't me, then throw an error. Like, yeah. I mean, you can do stuff to force it. You can even seal the prototype, right? Or freeze rather the prototype. Yeah.
Which doesn't really do anything though, right? Like you're freezing a prototype.
I think it de-optimizes in a few ways too. I'm not certain of that, but I think there are some de-optimizations or rather it doesn't optimize well. It's not that it de-optimizes. So I don't know. Like there's some holes in the design, which is really funny because if you look at some of the discussions around functional programming type features that people want to add to JavaScript and TC39 discussions, they're like, well, JavaScript's not a functional language. Right. Sure. Like they'll just like Brendan Eich has said stuff like that. JavaScript's not a functional language. And then the object oriented side, they add some of these features, but it's not really a complete or very safe set to use all the time. So
we can see that Ben feels really passionate about the subject, which is amazing. But I think it's funny because like as people I think are listening to this podcast, you know, they're like, okay. So the best practice is to use both. Okay. So I shouldn't always do functional programming, but like sometimes I should, but like, so it's like,
that's a pretty good answer.
If you want, we can throw down some wrong opinions and be like, all right, here's the rule.
It depends.
Here's the rules. You don't
there's
extend
so
your
much,
classes.
Flip a coin.
You can make classes, don't extend them. Use functional whenever you can, and don't be crazy with your closures.
Yeah. Whenever you go to write new code, flip a coin. If it's heads, do object-oriented. If it's tails, do functional, and then you're good. So it'll be totally
But are
fun.
You going to judge? Like, let's say like a new developer comes along, right?
Oh, or we're
like
going to judge.
Some like junior mid-developer or something. But then like if they're like only doing like functional components, right? Because like that's what they were taught. Are you going to be like, bro, you should have done some classes here. What are you doing?
I mean, maybe. But here's like, no, so here's, yeah, like here's the thing. The enemies of good code are things like readability is a big enemy of good code. And more importantly, maintainability. And so, like that boils down to a lot of things. And the biggest problem I see in general is just indirection, where like you can't look at the code in front of you and understand what's happening with it without diving into another file. And classes have a bit of that problem because you don't know if there's some state under the hood when you call a method. You don't really know what that state is until you go look at the method. And like functions
and
don't
like
have as much of that.
And clicking through and clicking through and clicking through until you figure out what the hell's going on.
Functional things can suffer from the same stuff. You look at like Redux, NGRX, some of these things, there's a lot of indirection in that code. And if someone isn't maintaining that well, that indirection can cause maintainability problems. Like, and everyone's familiar with that. Now, if they're maintaining it well, there's no problem at all, in my opinion. But like, if it's not well maintained, you're going to have this nightmare of like, oh, and then people will be like, well, RxJS was the problem. And it's like, well,
no, the problem was you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't write, like RxJS didn't write the code. So I don't know what to tell you about that.
Wrap-ups. What are our wrap-ups? Final thoughts.
My final thought is if you use object-oriented programming, you will be judged by those mid-level developers who think they know better than you and think you're a fool. But as they get more senior, they'll realize, yeah, it's all right. It's good in certain cases. It's not in other cases.
And then everything, it just depends on
You know, when you get to senior, you just don't. You're like, I don't know. Everything's good. You just got to know when to use it.
Yeah.
I know it's bad when I see it.
What level of senior you're at?
That's true. When you get super senior, you're like, all right, YOLO. Nothing matters. There's no such thing as best practices. Nothing matters. I just will.
I should have been a farmer. I'm a senior, I should have been a lumberjack.
No.
Then
that's when you know you've done. No.
Should have been a woodworker.
You're in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, I don't know. If as long as you can look at the code and maintain it, and more importantly, if you can refactor the code and know that if you screw up the refactor, a test is going to break. You're doing great. You're doing awesome.
Okay. So, would you rather, ending with would you rather only do functional programming or only do object oriented programming? Adam.
I'd go with functional just because I like functional programming. I'm
Jesse.
A big fan.
You know what? I would have said functional, but honestly, I'm fine with small talk, object oriented.
Object oriented, Ben.
Functional.
I mean, we knew your answer.
Yeah, I mean the object oriented programming is just it's lipstick on functional programming anyway. Yeah. So I'm just gonna.
This conversation reminds me of like this one time, me and Jay were talking about functional programming and why functional components are better. Before it came out in React, like, you know, the easy way to do it in just in React generally. And then he spent like 3 hours talking to me and explaining prototypal inheritance to me.
That sounds like Jay.
That's Jay with as much gusto in the first hour as the third hour.
Well, Mayor, did you at least get like a bathroom Jay. Break?
No.
Not to start
no shots, no bathroom breaks.
No, he'll follow you right to the bathroom. Keep talking.
He will.
I'm just kidding.
That's why we love him. Anyways, well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining. We will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.